Underwood, Thin Ice. To smoke some weed and shut up. My God.
Oh, I thought for sure. There it is. Boom!
Yes! I always mess up something with the tweets on the timing. I meant live at 2, obviously. Atlanta Basketball Podcast episode 206, March 12th, 2024.
Greatest day of the year.
Somebody, yeah.
Except 4 years ago when college basketball shut down on my birthday. So.
Which is your fault. By the way, both of us did an episode our respective birthdays this year. So dedication right there. We're not getting anything from this except for the ability to hang out with the fans. You know,
that's right. To the fans.
There you go. Some other people care about their 800 fake Twitter viewers. Yeah, episode 206, Illinois coming off of a win. However, I want to start with the fact that I'm sure we'll talk about some of the award stuff in the Big Ten going on today, but I want to.
Yeah, I put it in the doc. I know that.
Good. I didn't look
at it.
Certainly not. I just read that Ty Berry from Northwestern won the Sportsmanship Player of the Year award or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
What did they say it was? Northwestern tweeted this.
Sportsmanship. Or something.
Sportsmanship award winner. Yeah. Okay. Number one. This guy started something with Coleman Hawkins and then ran away. So that lacks sportsmanship when you win a game and then be a complete dickhead about it on the court. That lacks sportsmanship. Number two. I believe there was another incident against Nebraska. I don't know what it was. But I would say in comparison, this would be like the ACC giving Grayson Allen the Sportsmanship Award, pretty much. Maybe not that extreme, but come on.
He got hurt, right? That's the only reason why they gave it to him?
What? That shouldn't have anything to do with anything. Who cares?
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you. So.
Apparently, he repeatedly mocked Tominaga, I'm being told, which I don't know if that's – I don't know anything about that. I'd like to see some video of that.
Boo Boo he did, and I think that Ty Berry kind of just went off him. It was kind of this, like, cover your face when you make a three thing. I don't see
anything wrong with that, but he got – like, whatever he was doing with Coleman Hawkins at the end of that second game in Northwestern, then ran away. Like, the Sportsmanship Award should be for a guy who's quiet – keeps his head down, doesn't have any incidents of any kind.
Yeah.
There's got to be a player in the Big Ten like that. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
So Quincy Guerrier was an honoree for the Sportsmanship Award. So
Quincy keeps it clean.
Yeah. But
unlike Ty Berry, who we could just point out a bunch of incidents. And you know what? I saw Nebraska fans saying, oh, he mocked Tominaga before he got injured, something karma, something. That's too far. I wouldn't go that far. But yeah, I just thought that was funny that Big Ten award season's off to a great start. And by the way, anybody who's upset about Purdue winning as much as they did, like they went 17-3. Like the team that wins that many games is going to have a bunch of awards go their way. So yeah, Illinois.
Your golf partner's calling me.
Great. Illinois won. You might have just given his number to the chat. Illinois has 14 Big Ten wins to wrap up the season. They win at Iowa by 12. Probably could have won this game by 20 if their offense was at the level that it's been at for most of the season.
Yeah.
But took care of business. I thought probably their best defensive performance of the season, because think about who they're playing, the circumstances. They haven't allowed 61 or fewer in a long time. I would say they allowed 62 against Indiana on January 27th. They allowed 68 to Michigan State on January 11th, 57 to that terrible Colgate team on December 17th, 58 to Rutgers in that first matchup, 52 to Western, 60 to Southern, 53 to Oakland, 52 to Eastern Illinois. So Illinois, at some point this season, has been able to consistently defend. It's just against different opponents. which I find it interesting that Illinois probably for the first month of the season was like exactly what we thought they'd be in terms of way better defensively than they are offensively. And then it just has completely flipped since, I guess, the FAU game on, for the most part, outside of the Colgate game and a couple others. The offense has been humming. But, yeah, I mean, it's not easy to do what they did to Iowa. And
especially at home on senior night.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff. So, Bootzilla, what's going on? MJ misses your all right. So, how you doing? Sean, how you doing? Damask with an award. Yeah, we'll talk about the award a little bit later. Embrot says, show the clip of Barry giving Hawkins problems. Barry is in my ancestry. And that is why I remember this being such an outrageous award. Holy cow. What's going on, Eric? Bergy, what's going on? Damask with an award for most black eyes. Yeah. Got hit in the face of this game again. Didn't even go look at it. But anyways, on to the players of the game. I am going with the sportsmanship honoree, Quincy Guerrier. 31 minutes, 5 for 10 from the field. He was 2 of 3 from 3, 2 for 4 from the line, 14 points, 13 rebounds by UG, the Candyman, and no turnovers. Brad has really been challenging him to, you know, crash the boards. 13 is fantastic. This is kind of the Quincy we've been missing for a while. I think that you needed that 14 points, 13 boards from him in this game. I know that Illinois kind of opened up the lead big, had a 10-point lead at half, but Quincy was really good. And those guys played that. Quincy played down the stretch a little bit. Ty played down the stretch a little bit. So Brad was willing to change it up. We'd bring Harmon back in for the last, like, 2 minutes. And we'll get to Harmon. But Underwood said, quote, Quincy is just so athletic and just playing hard and playing in the moment and not worrying about missed shots or missed assignments. His leadership was at a different level with his talking and communicating. Brad also said that we have to have it from him. It takes us to a completely different level.
Where did you get learn there?
I don't know. Did it? I don't know.
We have to learn. That's what you said. can I say something about Quincy?
Yeah.
I would say he's been at this level for the past four games. He's shooting 66.7% from three in the last four, 8 for 12. He had 13 boards in this game. He had only two in the last game, but he was 3 for 4 from three.
Yeah.
And only played 24 minutes in comparison to what he'd been playing in the two of the last three, at least. He was 1 for 2 with 3 offensive rebounds, 2 assists against Wisconsin. And against Minnesota, he had 10 points, 2 of 3 from deep, 4 for 8 from the field, and 3 offensive rebounds and an assist. So I would say 4 straight games with Quincy having it, and probably 5 of the last 6 in terms of shooting. He was 1 for 5 in that first Iowa game, but 1 for 1 from deep against Penn State. So I think we're going to look back on Quincy's season as an Illini, his only season as an Illini, as one where – I think we're going to view him as more inconsistent than he actually has been. I know there's a couple bad stretches, but 4 straight games he's had it. And if he's grabbing 13 boards and making 2 of 3 from three and, you know, getting to the rim, not turning the ball over, only him and Goody didn't turn the ball over that played in this game. So feel very good about where Quincy's at going into the tournament, Big Ten tournament, then the NCAA tournament, but also especially more than the other transfer that was supposed to play a similar role to Quincy. Justin Harmon.
Okay. Quincy's been good down, you know, these last few games. He said during the lull, he wasn't rebounding. He said that's a big part of it is, you know, getting the ball no matter what. And I mean, if we can have Quincy continue on this path, I think it's really good. Makes you question why he didn't play the end of the Purdue game, especially rebounding. I know he only had 2 that game. Nobody else was really pulling some down. So Brad switched it up a little bit this game, I think it worked out. So,
yeah, I'm going with Terrence Shannon, who Iowa didn't have an answer for. 35 minutes, 25 points, 10 of 19 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3. 2 for 3 from the free throw line, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 2 turnovers at 18 points in the first half. Iowa didn't have an answer, nor should they. I mean, just it matches up really well for him with how he plays. Also had 2 blocks, as I mentioned.
Yeah, one on a breakaway where I think he was at half court and the Iowa guy was at the 3-point line. Pretty impressive. He was really good on Perkins. Perkins, terrible game. 1 for 10 with a turnover. And when he wasn't on Perkins, he was on Dix a little bit. Helped to shut down Dix. Compared to last game anyways, Dix had 13. But holding Tony Perkins to 2, Brad said, quote, he was at the top of the scouting report. Last time we played him, he had 18. And last time we came here, he had 30-something, 32. He's had his way with us a little bit. When Terrence Shannon guards, he is pretty special. We didn't expect 1 for 10 from a top player.
Shannon, 6 of the last 9 games has been ridiculous. Michigan State, 28. Michigan, 31. Maryland, 27. Penn State, 35. Minnesota, 29. Wisconsin, he wasn't, you know, the best player in that game because of Damask, but 23 and then 25 in this game. I think his three-point shooting has been very good outside of 3 games probably in the last 9. The Purdue game, not great. 2 for 7 is probably better than it looks. It's still not good enough. And then 1 for 7, but, you know, the games where he's been truly elite, you know, 5 for 8 against Michigan, 4 for 8 against Minnesota, 3 for 6 against Wisconsin. He'll definitely take 3 for 8 in this game.
Yeah.
He's up to 35 again. So getting up there again, hopefully can keep that going, but he's been really good. There was no time change angle. I messed it up. He's been really good 6 of the last 9 though. He's found it. And, you know, some of these games, he's not shooting very many free throws, only 3 free throws in this game, and he still puts up 25 and probably could have had 30 if they would have maybe given him the ball more. A little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. They did. I mean, initial play off the rip, set a double down pin screen for him. I don't think they got anything out of it, but it was nice to see Brad run some stuff for him. But yeah, Terrence is the best when he's in the open court. Few times, maybe they could have blew the whistle, but
he also
it is what it is.
He's, I think overall he's guarded really well the last 3.
Yeah.
And I don't know if was that bad. I don't know if he was that bad against Minnesota. I just think it was a collective breakdown. It's not like Minnesota wasn't making a bunch of contested shots, which they were.
Yeah.
Still, he gave up 97.
Unconscious. Which,
you know, but yeah, I mean Shannon, yeah. If you have Shannon playing this way and Quincy playing this way and Damask playing this way, there's reasons why people think this team could go pretty far.
Yeah. I agree. Eric, thanks for coming by. Sorry you're not feeling well. Hope you feel better. Other starters, Damask, 36 minutes, 4 for 14, 0 for 2 from 3, 3 for 4 from the line, 11 points. I don't know why I have 4 minutes down. When did I write this? 3 assists, 1 4 steal, rebounds, 1 turnover. Yeah, 4 rebounds.
4 rebounds.
Damask struggled a little bit, but when you needed him in crunch time, he showed up, hit that crazy fadeaway jumper with no time on the shot clock, nothing but net. And then I think he got another bucket right after that. So
can I just say this might be my favorite minutes breakdown of the season? Like in terms of, I know we complained about the rotations, but just the minutes breakdown, I think it's almost perfect. Not in every way, but it's close. Like I think you could probably take 3 away from Danger and give 3 to Goody. 12-12. I'm not thinking of God. I'm just saying. But like you get Damask for 36, Shannon for 35. That's great. 31 for Quincy might be a bit much, but somewhere in that 27-28 range is fine. Ty gets 26. Coleman probably needs more than 25.
I never thought that we'd have a Ty Rogers plays more minutes than Coleman Hawkins game. But
it was a fun breakdown, though. It felt like there's like this is pretty established that these 9 are probably going to be the guys that get looks in this month. And I think that's an important thing to figure out. And I don't know if you could have Dane be this effective in every game if he's playing 15 minutes. I think it really depends on the matchup. I think this was a good one for him because they don't really have any big bodies that can handle him underneath.
Yeah. Collective fan base, just normies that watch, not us. You guys are normies is what I'm calling you. Well, not the people that listen to us. Just, you know, Illini fans, Facebook Illini fans, whatever. Today I had somebody say that Danger needs more minutes. They need to play him more.
Have fun not scoring 90
points. Completely against that.
Do you think they're going to score 90? Do you think it's even possible for them to score 90 points in a game where Danger plays like 20 minutes?
Probably not because he clogs up the lane too much.
He played 11 against FAU. They scored 98. He did play 19 against Minnesota, but that was Illinois' offense like at its complete peak in that game. Yeah. Like they got 60 plus points from Hawkins, Damask, and Shannon. So that's a bit of a different circumstance. I guess that maybe proves them to be right, if I guess that is the case. Dane was also very good in that game. Dane, two of the last, I'd say three of the last four has been pretty effective. But
Hinkle says, I lost it listening to yesterday's Inquirer podcast when Warner is answering questions about lack of Dane time from a Jeffrey commenter. I don't know if Jeff's just done with us. Hopefully. I hope he's not, but wow. All right.
Yeah, so, it's a joke.
Sean says, I'm not an Army, been an Illinois fan since I was able to know who they were. No, I'm not talking about you. I know that the people that actually tune in and watch us definitely aren't normie Illinois fans. I was not talking about you.
I think you were.
I was not. 0% chance.
Ty Rogers, 26 the 12 minutes.
12 people that watch us are not normies.
Go Ty ahead. Rogers, 26 minutes, 3 of 5 from the field, 1 of 2 from the free throw line. Didn't look very confident from the line, but
no.
I'll take 1 of 2. 7 points, 8 Never rebounds, does. 2 turnovers. I thought pretty good tie game. Had some good plays going to the rim. Left-handed layup.
Two bunnies. I mean, yeah. That's
– not the best tie that, game, but
yeah, – but, yeah, other than that, I mean, he got there easily, it seemed, at times. So
I would also throw out that this was somewhat – it wasn't a masterclass per se, but this was a great – showing for how to defend without fouling from Illinois, I think.
Yeah.
The only 13 fouls, they defended really well. I don't think Iowa should have any gripes with the way the game was officiated. I think it was fine. Illinois is a more physical, tougher, more athletic team. They're going to get more foul calls. Iowa's a bunch of slow whites. What do you expect? I mean, come on. Let's be honest. Fran, I know, loves to get on the refs. And I got to agree with my guy Rick Pitino on this one. Like, you got to stop at some point in your coaching career. You got to stop working the refs. Like, I think Dan Hurley's got to give up on that soon, which I don't think that's in him or Bobby's DNA, but
right.
Rick Pitino, those types of like older coaches, Brad doesn't really work the refs very much. He doesn't work them. He just goes after them.
Izzo does.
Well, Izzo. Yeah. There's certain guys that still do it, but I'm just saying, yeah. Like Fran, it seems like Fran always has something to say to the refs or about the refs. And, yeah. Excuse me, if you're an Iowa fan, I just died there. If you're an Iowa fan, you should have no complaints about the game, the way this game was officiated overall. I think it was fine.
I agree. Coleman Hawkins, 25 minutes, 2 for 6, 0 for 1 from 3. Another game with only 1-3. What's going on right now? People are figuring things out, I guess. 10 rebounds from Coleman, which you love to see. 3 assists. A block, 2 turnovers for him. He set the bench a bunch in the second half. Hinkle said something about him and Underwood had a conversation. I never saw it, but I'll take Hinkle's word for it.
Did Underwood say anything about him?
I don't know. Weird. I didn't write anything down.
You would think. I don't know if he probably – maybe he didn't. I don't know. Clearly, he did this at the right time. You would think that if he played 25 minutes, somebody would ask something, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, Coleman.
Maybe it's his knee, too. I mean, trying to get him on the bench a little bit. So
I don't think there's anything to them figuring anything out. Coleman's still got good looks from three, just not taking them. But he's got to take more. He's only taken 3 in the last 3 games. Got to get the shot up more.
Do you think teams are kind of figuring out that slip screen, you know, the slip screen to the top of the arc? Coleman runs it a lot. Goody runs it a lot. Goody hasn't got many shots off lately. I think teams are kind of recognizing that more and following that guy. Coleman even made a comment about it, about Zach Edey coming out on it. So
yeah,
maybe Brad needs to find another way to get our shooters open a little bit.
So, yeah, I mean, Coleman, three attempts from 3 in the last 3. He's got to – figure that out.
Yep. Off the bench, Brad said about the bench, quote, I thought our bench was, again, fantastic. We went to them early, and they deserved the right to play. Incredible 2 days of practice for them. Good stuff. Harmon, 16 minutes, 0 points, 0 for 3, 0 for 2 from 3, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 turnovers. Are we questioning Harmon's minutes at any point, or are we okay with Ryan?
I will say it in the way that a coach would say it. We're going to need Justin Harmon at some point in this month.
Yeah.
Lock it in. However, I'm not sure he should be playing the final four. Like, free throw shooting, I guess I get it. But, like, give him the ball, then. Why is he inbounding if you want him to shoot free throws?
Right, and I think reboundings and inbounding and stuff like that is more important than if he does happen to get the ball, he can go make two free throws. Because he's not your first option, obviously, because he's taking the ball out. You're going to throw it to Damask or up to Coleman because he's tall.
I mean, Harmon is shooting 94% from the free throw line in Big Ten play.
Yeah.
30 of 32. And he is he's 17 for 17 since the Indiana game, January 27th. He hasn't missed. So yeah. He just can't make a three. He's 0 for his last, the last six games, he's 0 for 8 from three or 0 for 6 from three. So down to 33%.
Yeah. Hinkle, I don't know if anybody would ask Underwood questions he doesn't want to answer now. You especially don't ask him after a loss, though. You probably ask him after a win a little bit more. Your boy Dane Danger, 15 minutes, 9 points, 3 for 5 from the line, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 turnover, was on that weak charge call. Dane was really good. I think 15 minutes is perfect, though. I'm going to say that. I think 15 minutes is where Dane needs to be. He was good on defense. He was good on offense. When Coleman went to the bench, we had another big guy in there to do something. What's the breakaway? I know that you wanted him to slam it, but that was a pretty athletic move to try to go weak side. He didn't get it. He got blocked, but it was 3-on-1, so 1-on-3.
You would say that.
Brad called him, quote, electric on both ends of the court. Not elite, just electric. So he said, quote, Dane is as hard of working guy as we have, whether it's 5 minutes or 18 minutes, he is always answering the bell. Quincy said, quote, when he is aggressive and plays defense, we are really good. We are going to need that from him in the tournament in March Madness. Expect a lot of Dane minutes, guys. How many do you think he plays next game?
Don't expect it. It depends on who they're playing.
9.
They're playing Ohio State. I could see him playing like 12.
Yeah, I think that he can match up against what's the guy's name? Ked?
Well, they also have Akpara.
Yeah.
Zed Key,
geez.
Who's Ohio State playing? Is it Iowa?
Yeah.
Yeah. He might. Yeah, he's going to play at least 10 either way.
10, huh?
Yeah, at least.
I'll take that under.
Yikes.
Goody. 9 minutes, 1 foul.
Yeah, I wish he would get him some looks from three. Like, what? He made one after.
I mean, like I said, Brad's only play for our three-point shooters seems to be that. He doesn't run screens underneath. He doesn't roll guys off of people like Iowa does. It's literally that guy sets a screen and he tries to slip out for a three, which obviously the Big Ten's figured out. How that works in tournament play, but
it'll work well.
Yeah. Moretti, 7 minutes, hit a 15-foot pull-up jumper, 1 for 2 from the line, 3 points, 2 rebounds, 1 turnover. Thought it was good. He made his one turnover was Iowa's pressing. He tried to throw it over Patrick McCaffrey. I think McCaffrey jumped up and grabbed it, but thought he played good defense. He had a nice poke away on a backdoor cut. So
he did the impossible, which was force a turnover for this team.
Yeah, I agree.
How many points this team could score if they would force some turnovers?
True. Crazy. True. There was something I saw, something about Shannon. I can't remember what it was. It's probably listening to Sleepers or something, but they were like mad that Shannon went to get a rebound. And that's clearly what Brad wants him to do. They wanted him to like go out on the breakaway. I don't know. Anyways, I can't remember. So it doesn't really matter. Other notes and quotes. Here we go. Ethan's ready to go home.
Clearly I already am home, but yeah.
Illinois out rebounded Iowa 50-33. Illinois had 12 turnovers. Iowa had 5. Brad said, quote, "I was a little upset at half because of our turnovers, and our turnovers came in transition. They came running. I thought Peyton did a great job on Marcus, and they kind of took Coleman away. The way you have to try to play and win sometimes, it's ugly. And to do it against this team in this building, it felt like we had a little bite in us." So,
yeah, you know, we can never complain about Illinois coming out the way they did. Coming out on the road on senior night. And just
20-point lead.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's great. Like, when do we ever see that? I think there's also something out there about, by the way, Illinois 44-31-60 shooting splits, Iowa 35-33-61. I want to make my point here. Yep. I think there's something out there maybe that people think, oh, Iowa just missed a lot of shots. It wasn't anything Illinois was doing defensively, which I don't think is fully true. I do think Iowa, I mean, Fran's entire post-game presser that I heard was just, oh, got good looks, rimming out, didn't fall. You know,
got to make them.
Didn't give it. He said they were Illinois is a great team, all that. But, like, I thought Illinois defensively, I thought did some good stuff in this game. At least positive momentum or positive progress from where they have been.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, if you're holding Perkins to 1-for-10, I mean, he lives in the mid-range. So that means you were making those mid-range jumpers tough for him, which I think is, you know, a lot to do with Shannon and his length and
couple mistakes on Sanford in transition on for three.
The second one was probably worse than the first one, but yeah, Sanford 5 of 13 from three. He had 19 second half points. So he came to play, but the thing is, I mean, Dix only had 13. The only other guy in double digits, you held Creaky to 2 points. And Freeman to 8. So
also help, like we've been saying, Perkins only had 2. And
yeah,
Harding made a decent impact on the game. He had 6 assists, but he was 2 for 7 from the field.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, no complaining about this.
Yeah. The closest it got was 51-47 with 11:15 to play. And then Illinois went on a 6-0 run in the next 70 seconds. So, good game. A few from Brad in the post game. He said, started with 20 of these. Long regular season, my hat's off to the players, and I'm going to use a term for the lack of a better term. We kind of practiced angry after the Purdue game to come in here, and in my opinion, one of the best offensive teams in the country, a team that is extremely explosive, and to hold them to 61, I thought we fought on the boards. It was nice to see Quincy get back to rebounding prowess he is capable of. He said, quote, "Not where we wanted to be at the top, but it's 20 games and there are always going to be some roller coaster rides in that process." Big roller coaster ride this time. Now it's postseason play and we are going to take it one game at a time. But I feel really good about the way our guys defended today and played against a really good Iowa team. That, in my opinion, is NCAA worthy team and should be in the dance. Brad really trying to talk up his defense after this one. So he said that it was great to see a lot of orange in the stands and hear ILL, I, and I at the end of the game. He said, quote, "I feel great. It's one game at a time. We felt like we had a chance to win in the Purdue game. It was a rebound, literally a rebound, understanding the abruptness of the end. If you don't play well and go home, we have to avoid that. Praise the team for not dwelling on losses." And he said the defense was better because of communication. He said, quote, "It's basically effort, and what generates effort is talk and communication." So great game on the road. Had a chance to, you know, just blow them out, let them back in. It's Iowa at home on senior night. It is what it is. But again, hold them to 61.
Yep.
Pretty good stuff.
Yep.
All right.
I had a point. I can't remember it.
Oh, sorry.
Was it? Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
The Purdue loss was not just because of a rebound. They were still down 3, so he would have had to make a shot and maybe to tie it.
Yeah.
Literally, but still, yeah, you need to get the board, no doubt. I mean, no doubt about it. Yeah. I mean, you win 14 games in the Big Ten. You never want to take that for granted.
Absolutely.
14 this year, 11 last year, 15 the year before that, 16 the year before that, 13 the year before that, 7 the year before that, 4 the year before that. So going up from last year at least. Yeah, I mean, Brad has, if you want to count them here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight Big Ten seasons with double-digit wins. You know how many John Gross had?
Zero.
0 out of 5. 8, 7, 9, 5, 8. Yeah. John Gross, by the way, notoriously garbage in conference play before that. Like the Ohio team that made the tournament only won 11 games. And it's not only 11 of 16, but still 9, 7, and 7 the 2 years before that. I cannot believe that Illinois was dumb enough to hire that guy. So dumb. And now in conference play, he's been dominant. 14, 12, 14, 13, 13 the last 5 years at Akron. But still, 14 and 6. Take it every day. One game better than our prediction. And could have easily, you know, if things go a couple different bounces, they could be probably 16 and 4. Like if they, if Boo Booey doesn't go on a rampage in overtime.
Don't choke at Penn State.
Penn State choke. Michigan State not being able to score for 8 minutes, but that's an 8-point loss, so, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That Maryland game was a loss. They just were terrible in that game. But, yeah, by the way, another game for Iowa where the final 10 minutes, they're in the minus. Minus 6 in the final 10. They've had a lot of games where they've been iffy in the finals, and they're final 10 minus 2, but they beat Northwestern. Minus 4 in a game where they beat Penn State, minus 12 in the first Illinois game in the final 10, minus 2 in a win over Michigan State. So basically, Iowa gets beat in the final 10. And maybe the most extreme example is when Maryland outscored them 26-8 in the final 10 on February 14th, and Iowa lost by 12. So Fran needs to be worrying about the fact that they can't play in the final 10 minutes than you know, not giving Illinois any credit for what they did to his offense, which, by the way, Iowa hasn't scored 61 points or less, like, I don't think all season. So I'm pretty sure that's the lowest they've scored this season, unless I'm missing something, because they've had a couple games under 70, but 61 is the lowest they've scored
really
all season. Yeah.
Nice.
And they were only held under 60 twice last season. So, yeah. And that was against Nebraska and Wisconsin. So, take that, Fran. Another loss for you against the Illini.
Yeah, sucks. Fran.
They did beat Illinois last year, though, to be fair. It's a Matthew Meyer game. You think Marcus Damask is a better number two for Shannon than Meyer?
Adam says you're correct. Good work. Do I think who does what with Matthew Meyer?
Do you think Marcus Damask is a better number two for Shannon than Matthew Meyer?
That's a silly question.
So you think this year's team is better than last year's?
Yeah, obviously.
How much would this year's team beat last year's team by? 50?
Yeah, it depends on if Terrence Shannon was guarding himself.
Rodgers is guarding Shannon. This year's Rodgers.
This year's Rodgers or last year's?
Last year's Rodgers is guarding this year's Shannon.
I'm still going with this year's team.
Sincere is guarding Shannon.
No, I don't think that matters. Yeah. I think Shannon would put Sincere in a.
I don't know. Bag. Can't ball handle. Can't ball handle.
By the way, Ty Rodgers was a lot better on defense this game. So shout out to him stepping it up too. Adam says Damask is great, but he can't pound Monster Energy drinks with the same tenacity.
Good point.
What a legacy.
Score one for Meyer. Yeah, it's just wiped away all these dummies who think that he didn't, you know, look at some of the games last year. He was sick.
That is on you.
I mean, let's do it. Let's do it while we're here. Last year.
What are we doing?
So he had 26 against Wisconsin last year in a win on the road. 21 at Iowa was the only guy who showed up basically in a loss. 24 at Indiana was the only guy who showed up basically in a loss. 24 against Michigan in the double overtime win. And that's really about it. 22 against Minnesota as well. But, yeah, it's tough. What can you do, though?
Can't do much, they say. Is Meyer in the G League? I don't know.
Let's do some research. Yeah, he is. He plays for the Texas Legends.
Mm.
Dallas Mavericks affiliate.
Make sure when you share this, you put the hundreds of viewers we have. Thank you.
Appreciate he's you. On the second. He's already on his second team in the G League, which I don't know what that means, but.
Do you get traded in the G League? How's that work?
I don't know. He's averaging 4 points and one rebound.
Pretty good.
Jesus. Yeah. Sucks. Good player.
He's even there.
It says born September 23rd, 1999, undrafted, last attended Illinois. That's funny.
Good stuff.
Yeah, we should have seen the decline from three coming since he went 39 to 32 to 33 in his last 3 years of college. But Brad can't identify that, and he doesn't have an eye for talent. Just like we wouldn't know a glue guy if it hit us in the face.
Yeah, so. Sometimes you just give Matthew Meyer the ball and let him do what he wants.
So. Award season. That's kind of what we do with Damask, except he's just way more effective and can score in a lot more ways.
Yeah, he gets to the basket.
Yeah, award like season. I felt like Meyer could get to the basket a little bit here and there.
Did he?
Yeah.
All I remember is step back threes.
Well, you're an idiot. I mean, let's be honest.
That's fair. All right, award season. Big Ten, all whatever teams have been announced. Terrence Shannon makes first team All Big Ten by both the medias and the coaches. He also makes the AP first team All Big Ten. Damask makes first team All Big Ten by the coaches. Second team All Big Ten by the media. Apparently, LaTulip predicted that. Good for him. Jameer Young gets the other first team media spot. I think LaTulip said it's the first time that somebody's played in a Wednesday game and made first team All Big Ten.
I don't have a huge problem with that. I kind of thought Damask was going to be second team anyway.
Yeah.
But I feel like numbers-wise, it would make sense that he'd be first team. Also, does this confirm that Shannon's going to be an AP first team all or first or second team All-American?
Yeah.
Because so. The AP, you know, it seems like he's being, like, blackballed by the Field of 68. Didn't have him on any of their three
any teams, of them, yeah.
Which that's is weird. Fucking absurd. That is such – talk about spineless. Everything with the All-Americans has to do – with what is happening on the basketball court, where he is one of the top 10 scorers in the country.
Yeah.
I think, right? Yeah, isn't he ninth?
It's got to be. Ninth.
So, yeah, like, wait, have a fucking spine, Good Bloom, you fucking loser. God, it pisses me off. Even though it shouldn't matter. I really want to get to the second week, and that's all I'm concerned about.
Exactly. Damask also was the AP Big Ten Newcomer of the Year, and he was on the first team All Big Ten with the AP.
So. AP's like in the Atlanta, except yes. For the voters. I guess, do the voters who vote for the poll vote for the All-Americans? Probably.
I never would mind. Guess.
We'd be like eighth saying. Right now if they liked us instead of 13th.
What's up, Cheezang? Thanks for stopping by.
Remember when that idiot dropped Illinois out of his top 25 when Shannon was gone and Illinois went 4-2? What an idiot that guy is.
Idiot. Idiot. Coleman Hawkins, third team All Big Ten by the media. Honorable mention Big Ten by the coaches. He made AP second team All Big Ten.
What's up with the coaches?
Messed up. Yeah, I don't know, because
guy who's 6'10", guards every position, shot 40% from three in Big Ten play, 54% from two, and 84% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Sixth in conference-only steal percentage, 16th in conference-only block percentage, 20th in defensive rebound percentage in conference play. The fuck are these coaches watching? Jesus, are you kidding me? Who are on the coaches' teams? I need to know right now. Third team, who's on that team? Figure it out. Somebody figure it out. I don't know what the hell those guys are watching. Oh, yeah, a guy who had a 30-point game against Iowa, had 20 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists against Minnesota, had a 20-point game against Nebraska, 22-point game against Northwestern, 21-point game against Michigan, 15-point game against Michigan State. Yeah, great.
as selected by Big Ten coaches. You want coaches, you said?
Yeah.
First team, Damask, Shannon, Bowie, Edie Smith. Second team, Perkins, Young, Walker, Tominaga, and AJ Store. Third team, Ware, Sanford, Garcia, Mass, Barnheiser, Baldwin.
Oh, my God. Are you shitting me? These coaches are so – what are they doing?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
That's
– they dinged him for wanting to fight Maryland. That's ridiculous. Coaches are jealous. They can't stand Coleman punk their teams all year. Adam says, not sure if you guys watch Gary Parrish at all, but he's even worse than Goodman on the blackball in Shannon. He's basically declared him guilty and doesn't even want to admit Illinois exists. Yeah, I think you've went after him on Twitter, right?
Yeah, definitely.
nobody made the all defensive team for Illinois. Shocker, their defense is not good, so I'm guessing that's why. But Ace Baldwin Jr., I hear that he won Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. I'm not really looking on here. Cliff Amarui, Zach Edey, Chucky Hepburn, Khalil Ware, Brooks Barnheiser makes the all defensive team.
I mean, Barnheiser had a good season for sure. Now that I look at the numbers, yeah, I think it does make sense that Coleman maybe just misses the third team by the coaches. If they're just going by numbers, I guess. He was 20th in conference scoring, but I think you need to look at the overall body of work, to be fair.
Yeah.
But I think Gary Parrish is a fucking loser. really has no business being in the position he's in based on what I've heard in terms of his analysis. I think it sucks. And also the one time he mentioned Shannon in his rankings that I've seen is when Terrence Shannon goes 3-for-13 against Purdue as Illinois loses. Like, he's a fucking loser. Like, get a grip. He's the type of guy who thinks his job is so important. Like, oh, I got to put myself front and center. I got to take a stand on something. Like, do your fucking job the right way, you fucking idiot. I don't think this guy's ever heard of the justice system. And I've never, not once, have I said whether I believe that Terrence Shannon is innocent or guilty. But I do know that we have such a thing in the United States of America that is referred to as innocent until proven guilty. And I think that we should uphold that, especially when we have nothing to do with any of this. In terms of the case, it has nothing to do with us. What we do know is that a judge who knows way more about this case than any of us gave him the restraining order to play. So if Gary Parrish thinks his job is so fucking important that he has to put himself front and center on this thing and go out of his way to either not include Shannon in his reports, quote unquote, his reports, which fucking blow, by the way, his rankings suck. If he has to go out of his way to not include Shannon when he has a big game, like, oh, did he mention Shannon has 25 as Illinois beats Iowa? I don't know if he's done that. Did he do that? I don't know. Somebody look. But then he goes out of his way. Don't mention, hey, Damask had 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists as Illinois loses a close one to Purdue. Goes out of his way to put Illinois, Shannon goes 3-for-13 as Illinois loses to Purdue. Like, that is the number one guy you don't want to be in the media. You don't want to be a guy who puts yourself, like you hold yourself to such a high, I'm so important, I'm a journalist. Fuck right off with that shit. And I'm sick of seeing his ugly bald head on TV. And I'm ugly as fuck too, and I don't care. But I'm just saying, I'm sick of this Gary Parrish loser. Somebody clip that, tag him. Get them. I mean, it's so annoying how these people think they're so important. You're covering basketball, dude. We don't need to hear your thoughts on the legal process. Nobody gives a fuck what you and your blue glasses think. Get new glasses. They look like shit. Wear something similar to this. It's a little more athletic. Probably you probably don't even have an athletic bone in your body, Gary, if that's even your real name. But I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it.
Well, thanks, Adam. There you go. Adam says, totally agree on Parrish. Don't remember him melting down on the Alabama guy last year that involved murder.
It's just like, you're not that important, man. Your job is not that important. You're not covering world politics. You're not covering, you know, war. Like, you're covering college basketball. Nobody gives a fuck whether you think Terrence Shannon is innocent or guilty. And it's completely not your place to say. Like, we don't want to hear your opinion on that. Nobody wants to hear that. And I'm not a guy who thinks that athletes shouldn't be able to speak out against things. Like, I think that's fine. Do whatever you want. I think people that care about that type of stuff, you probably should check yourself and be like, okay, maybe I'm caring about things I shouldn't care about. However, at the end of the day, Gary Parrish needs to realize that his job is not that important. You don't need to go out of your way to let everybody know that, oh, I have a problem with this. Great. Like, nobody cares. Like, are you educated on this? Who knows? But yeah, I just think it's interesting. I was not that upset about what he was doing until I saw the, oh, Shannon goes 3 for 13. So the one time you mentioned him was when he goes 3 for 13.
That sounds bad. Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah. Good stuff from him. But I'm sure Gary Parrish is a nice guy. It's just, come on. You're not that important.
Yeah. So Boo Booey and Zach Edey were the only two that were unanimous. Are you surprised Shannon wasn't?
No. Somebody's a Gary Parrish type pilot. Gary Parrish, like, you know what? I can't allow this.
Yeah. Co-coaches of the year, Fred Hoiberg, Matt Painter. Are you surprised that Brad never got a co-coach of the year? Like,
yeah, I feel like the 2022 year would have been a great year to do it because they lost Io.
Yeah.
And then they co-won the Big Ten. So yeah, it would have been a good year.
Yep. Don't understand that. So anyways. All right. That's award season. On to the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, Big Ten tournament, very exciting. Big time event. I gotta pull up the bracket here.
they play basketball.
I have it on paper over here, but I'm not gonna. You know, I think that I stretched out that rant too long. I apologize.
I think the viewers enjoyed it. So
I hope nobody clips that. I don't need that out there.
Maybe Carlay can send that to YouTube.
My overall point is just that I think that Gary Parrish needs to take a step back and realize that you're not covering Russia against Ukraine right now. Like, you're covering college basketball.
Right.
You don't need to go out of your way to, it's ridiculous that Pete Gillen needs to be on TV more. He's calling the CAA games last night. I think he's got another one tonight. Why does CBS not use him at all for the tournament and the real coverage? Ridiculous. But no, hey, let's listen to what Charles Barkley, who hasn't watched college basketball all season, at one today. Or let's hear what Rex Chapman, that loser, has to say. Come on.
I don't understand the not having college guys.
I mean, Pete Gillen, absolutely. He's perfect for it. He's got the East Coast New York accent, the way he talks about basketball. I like him a lot, and I don't understand why the hell they don't use him on the coverage, because he looks weird. I mean, no shit, but come on. Rutgers and Maryland tomorrow evening, Michigan, Penn State right after. I can't believe two teams Illinois lost to are playing on Wednesday night, and two teams that they beat twice by a significant margin. So,
yeah.
That tells me that the teams that beat Illinois are going to win. So give me Penn State, give me Maryland.
Okay.
Minnesota, Michigan State kicks off early on Thursday. I don't know when we're going to be going live Thursday on here for the games. Who knows? Figure it out. Maybe somewhere around this game or somewhere around the Wisconsin-Maryland game, which is going to be Wisconsin-Maryland. You can just, write that down. Ohio State, Iowa is the first game of the evening, 5:30 Central on Big Ten Network. These are all on Big Ten Network for the first 3 days until CBS on the final two. Winner of Ohio State, Iowa plays Illinois, so there's your possible matchups. So you look at Illinois the last few years in the Big Ten tournament, they played Rutgers on a Friday night in 21. They played Indiana early on a Friday in 22. They played somebody in another time. 23 last year, they played Penn State. I don't know, was that Thursday or Friday? One of the two. Were they top four seed last year? I don't think they were. 11-9?
Who?
Illinois. Were they top four seed? They got the double bye, right, last year? No way. They played Thursday. Okay, I was going to say, they went 11-9. So, anyway. And then Indiana will play winner of Michigan, Penn State to round out Thursday. And then Purdue will probably play, I'll say Michigan State, but I don't know. Minnesota might be better right now based on some of what I've seen. They've had a couple games since the Illinois game. We're like, how did they score 97 points against Illinois? But no, Purdue, Northwestern play the front window. That Illinois game will be 5:30 Central on Friday night against Ohio State, I guess. I don't know. And then Nebraska will probably play Indiana the late Friday.
Yeah.
You got Purdue winning this. I have Ohio State.
Yep.
I already regret my pick.
Sorry, Illinois fans. Are we going to do a preview at like on Friday morning, or do we care enough to?
I don't know if anybody. If it's Iowa, we don't need to.
Okay. Yeah.
If it's Ohio State. Doesn't have to be a preview. It could just be a, you know, going live, chopping it up session, you know?
So I was thinking about this last night. What would you put the over-under on games Illinois has left this year? 3.5?
Yeah, that would be a good number. I would take the over.
Okay. I would take the over also.
I feel good about where we're at as a club.
Cheezang says, get to Sunday 3 seed. Am I right?
Maybe.
I honestly think they have to win it, but
I don't think they do.
You don't? It all depends on what the other 4 seeds do,
you don't
right?
think Kansas? You don't think Kansas
is
might
going to be screwed, right? With
Dickinson, two things,
and McCuller.
They'll probably lose their first game and the injury thing. I don't think they're going to give Kansas a 3 seed. They're not sure that Dickinson and McCuller are both going to play.
Right? Yeah, that makes sense. I just don't know where they sit right now.
They're like
bracketology
13th.
When my boy Bracket Dom
12 that. Or 13, I guess Kentucky might have jumped him according to some.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say probably get there. But the thing is, according to everybody, the committee already has the teams picked before Sunday, like before those games are played. So I guess if they win,
I guess they'll do some moving around. I mean, Illinois got a 1 seed
Butzilla in says,
2021.
Depends on what happens with Baylor, Duke, Iowa State. Root against them.
Baylor does not care about the Big 12 tournament. I'd be surprised if they win a Big 12 tournament game.
And Duke's going to win the ACC, according to Ethan. So,
yeah, unfortunately. Flopapowski. Scumbag. So, yeah, you got Purdue. I got Ohio State. I don't know what I'm doing. And maybe they do. I mean, Illinois is not the hardest to play.
I mean, if they get through Illinois, I think they could get rolling. They already beat Purdue once.
Also, you have in the other power conferences, you have North Carolina in the ACC, UConn in the Big East, Houston in the Big 12, really going out on a limb there. But you know, took a leap with the Pac-12. You got Oregon, and then SEC, you got Kentucky.
That's right.
So.
That's right.
I got SEC Auburn, Pac-12 Arizona, Big 12 Houston, Big 10 Ohio State, Jesus, Big East UConn, and ACC I have Duke. So, and I think our other big picks were the fact that I took UC Davis and you took UC San Diego.
Yeah,
in the Big West.
Did we win any last night? Who played last night? The Sun Belt was one.
Yeah, James Madison. We both had that.
And then Charleston. We both had Charleston, right?
They're in the championship tonight, but they're playing.
Oh, I thought that was the championship.
They're playing. Who beat Hofstra? Towson. I think it's Charleston Towson tonight in the championship. Also, Samford. We both had.
Wow.
Very well, could be Illinois' opponent.
That's true.
I had UNC Wilmington, by the way. So, did not have Charleston.
Oh, did I have Charleston?
Yeah.
I thought so.
We both have Merrimack, who's playing in the championship for the Northeast Conference, Gonzaga tonight. Kansas City's out, by the way, in the Summit, so it's over for you there. Plus, you stupidly picked Western, who stinks at basketball in the OVC. You know who I really like right now? You know who could?
That was a homer pick. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. You know who could win a national championship? Gonzaga. Yeah. I can see it.
Crazy talk.
How is that crazy? Okay, I'll give you 25 numbers right now. They're 15th on KenPom. Okay, so that's top 15. So that sets the metrics right there. They're 9th in offense, 45th in defense. They're 15th in
defense isn't high enough.
36% from three. They're 6th in 2-point percentage. They don't get their shots blocked. They don't turn the ball over. Defensively, 45th. I'm fine with that. 99.8. That's better than some of the other teams that people would have ahead of them. They haven't, they've lost one game since January 18th, and that was to St. Mary's by two. They came back and then beat St. Mary's in the next game by 13. I'm telling you right now, Gonzaga, Nimhard has been a monster for the last month. I mean, it's 16, 6, and 12 last night, and then against St. Mary's in the season finale at 23 and 10. That's a point guard right there. Ike is healthy. He's playing. They got Anton Watson's been there for a billion years. He hasn't, you know, had 17 last night. Nolan Hickman, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. They share the basketball. They're recently they've been, you know, passing it a lot better, passing it a lot more, I should say. And also, yeah, you can say they play in a weak conference, but guess what? They beat Kentucky in February. At Kentucky, by the way. St. Mary's is a very good basketball team. They beat them by 13 recently. San Francisco is solid. They beat them by 18 and then 12 last night. Outside of that, yeah, it's not great. But, yeah, they just had a couple weird – I mean, it's not like their losses are egregious. The
you
Washington
think they beat St. Mary's?
Yeah, yeah. Championship? They're playing way too well. They're going to win that game tonight, yeah.
No.
I mean, happy Hermit sound. It sounds like you're just a Gonzaga hater, which respect, whatever. But
Zag's back in the Cinderella. Teams might sleep on them. That's
I feel
where
like
they
I
need
feel,
to be.
Didn't we sleep on them last year too?
I don't know.
Yeah, they were a 3 seed last year, and people were like, "Eh," and they still got to this, you know, Elite Eight. So, I like them a lot.
Sleeping on 3 seeds, huh?
Sleeping in terms of. Like some people were just writing them off, and then I think we were like, hey, Gonzaga could win this year when nobody
Watch
expects
out.
Them to. But yeah, I think Gonzaga, I'm so in on Gonzaga. That's a very good basketball team. Like they it took them a while to figure it out, which shouldn't be a surprise. They lost Julian Strother and Drew Timmy and bringing a brand new point guard to pair with Hickman. And then, yeah, they've taken off. That team's very good. And I think to think otherwise is just you're not. How am I reaching? Come on, give me some facts to back up your argument that if you're going to say I'm reaching, because I don't think I am. You think I'm reaching?
No, I mean I don't think they can win a national championship.
I think they could. They got the guards. They've been shooting it well. I don't really care what their wins are because they have 2 wins that would overshadow any of Illinois' wins this year, which are Kentucky and St. Mary's.
They've been in a weak conference forever. They've still been good. Adam says, would like to see the Illini win Friday, but might be best if they lose in semis, as I doubt even the Big Ten title moves them to a 3 seed, and they'll be gassed like in 2021. Yeah, nobody's made it to the second weekend that's won the Big Ten title tournament since 2019 or something like that, so... Big Ten title moves them to a 3. I would think so. You say weak conference, but the WCC is the strongest it's been in a while, right? I mean,
it was
as in for competing against Gonzaga.
Yeah, nah, it was. I don't know if it is this year. Just
yeah, maybe BYU, not this year.
BYU's gone, but they still have St. Mary's. Went into the season, people thought they were better than Gonzaga. I still think they're close, but they're not better. Outside of that, it's like San Francisco, Santa Clara. Santa Clara did beat Gonzaga, but neither of those teams are that great. But I do think the loss of BYU's a reason why. I don't know if I'd say that for this year, but like UConn, I know UConn is UConn, but UConn won a national championship when they were in the American in 2014. Like,
you guys need to come over to our Countdown to March Madness podcast.
The four-bid league. Here. A four-bid league in the American in 2014, UConn won the national championship. And Gonzaga has been good for 20 years. The conference argument does not work. They can hang with anybody. They went 31-1 in 2021 and beat USC by 19, who was sixth on KenPom that year. They beat UCLA in overtime. They beat a good Creighton team by 18. Like, Gonzaga can hang. The conference argument makes no sense. I think you need to look at their team.
All right, content plans for the next couple of weeks.
We're going to start a Gonzaga podcast, talk Gonzaga basketball. Yeah, I don't know. It's up to you, really, schedule-wise. Like, we got Thursday. Come on here, watch some basketball.
Yeah, Thursday I think we're going to watch some conference basketball with you guys. If you want to stop by, we'll be live.
We can talk Gonzaga, and then we'll take the Gonzaga argument to Thursday.
Yeah. Won't be doing a watch party Friday.
Yeah, nobody needs to see that.
We'll see what happens as it goes from there, I guess.
Yeah. Probably Sunday night after the selection show.
Yeah.
It
should be available then. So.
Yeah, and then we'll probably do like a Monday or Tuesday episode to preview the first round matchup overall. We'll talk about it on that Sunday, but
yeah, just stay up to date with Twitter, things like that, and we'll let you know when we're going live. Can you throw the ad thing up there? Because I forgot to write it down.
Do what?
The ad that you put up on the thing?
Sure.
For Alamo?
This thing?
Yeah. As always, we want to thank Alamo Steakhouse and Saloon in Mattoon, Illinois. 700 Broadway Avenue. You can find them online at www.alamo-steakhouse.com. Tuesday and Wednesday specials. We got steak specials, but they're not steak. We got a chopped steak on Tuesday, and we got a grilled ham steak on Wednesday. Go get you some. If you guys would like to advertise with us, please reach out to us on Twitter or email us at IlliniBasketballPodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, subscribe, subscribe. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and shout out to Armchair Line. I don't think I ever mentioned them. Shout out to armchairline.com, all that stuff. I'm just checking what Parrish had to say. Illinois. Guys. Okay, wow, he's back. Gary Parrish is back. Okay. He's got Illinois. He does have Illinois 16th, which I think is, you know, okay, dude. You think BYU's better than Illinois? Okay. He said Terrence Shannon Jr. finished 25 points, 3 rebounds in Sunday's 73-61 win at Iowa.
Thanks, Gary.
Hey, Gary's back. I take back 60% of what I said.
Yeah. If you guys go over to Twitter, share our episode and put that we had 150 people watching us.
Yeah, thanks. That would be great. We'll see everybody on Thursday. Goodbye.